Welcome to North Shore News and Interviews on Amherst Island Radio. Each week, we keep you updated on newsworthy events, happenings, and conversations that we've had with people in the local community and beyond.
The W.J. Henderson Recreation Center will be open on Saturday, September 21st for the start of the 2024-2025 ice season. Loyalist Township is inviting residents to celebrate the reopening with a free public skate on Sunday, September 22nd, between 11 a.m. and noon. The free skate is being offered in lieu of the sneak peek that was originally planned for September 20th. While the arena is reopening on September 21st, there are still many more facility improvements on the way. Construction is still in progress in many areas of the Recreation Center. For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Tad Evans. This is North Shore News. Fall Aquatics programming registration is now open in Loyalist Township. Continuing their partnership with BGC Southeast, West End Hub, and the YMCA of Eastern Ontario Wright Crescent Branch, the township is offering these programs for residents and non-residents. Sessions start in October and continue weekly until December. For more information, visit loyalist.ca/recreation. For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Tad Evans. This is North Shore News. Loyalist Township has launched a new online engagement platform for members of the public. The Engage Loyalist platform features a number of initiatives that the township has opened up for public input. Along with each initiative, users can find background information, current statistics, a project timeline, and see who among township staff will be hearing their input. Councillor Paul Proderick explains the idea behind Engage Loyalist and notes some of the current initiatives on the platform.
Engage Loyalists is just one of the many methods that we are trying to use to communicate with the local population. They can learn about the projects ongoing, give feedback on some of the initiatives that happen in the township. With the local media and the loss of the newsprint, we have to be proactive versus reactive in some of our planning and to give maybe people an idea of what's on the site right now. You've got the Waste Management Master Plan that people can comment on, the Ward Boundary Review, which will be hopefully in place for the next election, Babcock Mill, the Reading Garden, Main Street Bath, the reconstruction, the changes in public transit that just happened in the last week or so. And one that I would encourage people to comment on is the 2025 budget process as we move through it. A lot of times people maybe have questions, but usually it's after the fact, well after it's established. I'm still getting questions about some spending, and that's 6 months, 8 months later. So get involved and engage loyalists. It's just one of the many ways we try to engage with the local population.
The platform asks users to sign up in order to have their say and stay up to date. For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Tad Evans. This is North Shore News. The Great Lakes Islands Alliance announced its first ever strategic plan spanning to 2034. The plan looks to address challenges facing Great Lakes Islands, such as emergency preparedness and general communications. The main focus of the plan is building the Great Lakes Islands Alliance into the go-to connector organization for the island communities involved. Member of the Amherst Island Community Alliance, David Pickering, notes one of the more important issues the island has taken on since becoming a member of the Great Lakes Islands Alliance.
One of the things that we've discussed in detail at the Community Alliance was a report from one of the other islands that actually did a emergency exercise for one of their islands and found that it failed miserably because of poor communications, lack of interoperability, and a variety of other things that meant that they couldn't achieve the exercise objectives. And it sort of came as a big call to wake up and start over again and come up with a better emergency plan because this didn't work. And certainly that in itself is encouraging the Community Alliance to discuss with the new fire chief, as well as the township, the state of emergency planning for Amherst Island.
Pickering explains how Amherst Island's representative at the Great Lakes Islands Alliance, Paul Juniper, brought back the idea of a winter carnival.
Probably the most significant was the entire winter carnival. Paul arrived at one of the meetings for the Community Alliance and said, here is the schedule for the winter carnival. They are now doing their 56th annual one. Maybe we could put something together. And the Community Alliance hit the various service organizations like Ames and the Museum and the Women's Institute and so on. And everybody said, well, we can support this particular event. And they turned around and they made it into a program and they invited people. And apparently it was quite successful.
The Alliance's leadership team developed the plan over the last year. The four primary goals in the Alliance's foundational charter helped shape the creation of the plan. The four goals are facilitating connection between island communities, improving information access, encouraging multi-island collaboration, and amplifying island voices. With the new plan, the Alliance also looks to improve its environmental and socioeconomic program areas, central operations and capacity, and long-term sustainability. While mainly focusing on island communities, the Alliance also recognizes the importance of raising awareness of island life among mainland audiences, including governments and the general public. The Great Lakes Islands Alliance is set to host its fifth summit this year from September 22nd to 25th near the Les Chinois Islands of Northern Lake Huron. The summit provides an opportunity for islanders from around the Great Lakes to come together to learn about each other's communities and share solutions to the various economic, social, and environmental challenges facing islands. This year's event will feature more than 20 speakers, panel discussions, and guided tours. The event will cover a range of topics including tourism, island schools, youth engagement, media, biodiversity, and emergency preparedness. For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ted Evans. This is North Shore News. Loyalist Township and Kingston Transit have announced new adjustments to Route 10 that are now in effect. Loyalist Township, under contract to Kingston Transit, provides a bus service from Amherstview to Kingston via Route 10. This route runs to the Cataraqui Center via Collins Bay and the Bay Ridge Center. Riders can connect with Express Routes 501 and 502 at both the Cataraqui and Bay Ridge centers. Children 14 and under can ride free of charge when they're with an adult paying the fare. Riders 14 and under that are riding alone can obtain a pass on the Kingston Transit website. For more information, visit loyalist.ca/transit. For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ted Evans. This is North Shore News. Loyalist Township is implementing community safety zones on township roads to improve safety around schools in the area. The new community safety zones include Front Road on Amherst Island, Church Street in Bath, Kildare Avenue, Park Crescent, Upper Park Road, Amherst Drive, Briscoe Street, and Fairfield Boulevard in Amherstview, as well as Durham Street, North Street, and Main Street in Odessa. For more information, visit loyalist.ca/community safety zones. For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ted Evans. This is North Shore News. The first ever Bath Art Fest is taking place Saturday, September 14th, hosted by the Hive Artist Collective in Centennial Park. Over 30 artists will be featured from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. alongside live music. One of the owners of the Hive, Amanda Lloyd, explains how the day will be set up.
We're setting it up a little differently than other art festivals. We're calling it kind of like a home village vibe. So all of the tents are going to be on the perimeter of the park and facing the center. And then in the center is going to be the music. We're going to have face painting for kids. We have a big raffle. Most of the Hive artists have donated a piece to be raffled off.
Lloyd describes some of the other types of vendors that will be at the event.
We have jewelers. We have ceramists. We have potters. We have some fabric artists too who are going to be there. So you can shop your heart's content there and then maybe wander down into the village for some coffee and some food and some more shopping experience.
Lloyd explains the experience they hope to create and notes some of the local businesses involved.
It's a village day. That's what we just want everyone to come out and hang out at the village. Hang out by the water, you know, to bring the kids down. We really want people to come in, check out local artists, but then take a stroll down to the village, because we wouldn't be able to run this without the businesses who kind of have sponsored us. So we're hoping people will go down to the Commons, Books on Main, the Lodge for Coffee.
Lloyd also noted they hope to make it an annual event. Bath Art Fest will take place rain or shine. For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ted Evans. This is North Shore News. September 22nd from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Bath Sunday Market, Loyalist Township will be celebrating Culture Days. The event will have family-friendly activities, including a sing-along with the musical group Panache A, as well as workshops for illustration and dreamcatcher making. The Lenox Community Theater will also be there hosting creative activities. This is a free event taking place at Centennial Park North in Bath. For more information, visit loyalist.ca/events. For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ted Evans. This is North Shore News. Ontario Culinary, along with the Culinary Tourism Alliance, are hosting a Feast On event featuring six chefs from the area happening this fall at McKinnon Brothers Brewing Company. Feast on the Farm, A Taste of Southeastern Ontario, takes place Saturday, September 28th from 5 to 8 p.m. Feast On is a certification program for restaurants and purveyors in Ontario. Ontario Culinary says the program recognizes businesses committed to sourcing Ontario-grown food and drink. The other part of their aim is to make it easier for food lovers to find local food. Each chef will be showcasing their creations using seasonal produce and ingredients from the region. The array of different dishes will also be paired with local craft beverages. Marketing manager for the Culinary Tourism Alliance, Gabrielle Mueller, explains the goals behind their Feast On events.
The goal really is to celebrate the unique taste of place of southeastern Ontario. All the chefs that are featured at the Feast on the Farm event are Feast On certified. So really, we're celebrating chefs that are going the extra mile to source, you know, seasonal and Ontario-based produce, meats, and other ingredients. And really, we just want to take this time to celebrate that. It's harvest season. It's all you can eat. So inviting folks to come on out and eat and taste how much better things taste when they're in season.
Mueller notes the range of local beverages that will be on hand as well.
I do want to shout out our local drink producers. Of course, McKinnon Brothers Brewing, they're hosting us. So we will be serving up their craft beverages, as well as craft wine from Carlo Estates Winery in Prince Edward County, Hardway Cider, and Mohawk Soda. So it should be a real all-around great time.
For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ted Evans. This is North Shore News.
I'm Sarah Birch with Kingsness News, and here are the top headlines that you need to know. The nonprofit developers behind a proposed $115 million green housing high-rise in Kingston says they'll need the City Council's financial support for the project to take root. Strong Enterprises, a Belleville-based construction company, has revealed the winners of its inaugural public art competition. For a list of the winners and their selected pieces, visit kingstonist.com. Kingston Health Sciences Center has received $17.5 million in funding from the province, and according to the local healthcare organization, the funding is aimed at reducing wait times, completing much-needed infrastructure projects, and providing care to the growing number of patients. The City of Kingston is holding an information session about the operational plan for 309 Queen Mary Road, which will be a new housing and healthcare facility. The session will take place on Monday, September 23rd from 6:30 to 8 p.m. A new report finds that Ontario needs five times more hospital beds than the provincial government has planned, and that the province faces a 13,800-bed shortfall by 2032. A new community group for seniors is bringing a lighthearted musical to the Spire this month. All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten features a series of stories from the best-selling book. For more on this story and other local news, visit kingstonist.com and subscribe. Use my code SARAHB2024 for 10% off.
This has been North Shore News and Interviews. If you have an idea for a story or want to create stories for this show, consider joining our 100% volunteer team. Contact Amherst Island Radio for more details.